Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
All right, we're starting a new section today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12, which is actually the second part to a two-part section. Verses 1 through 12 is one section. We've taken it in two separate occasions. Last week we took verses 1 through 6, and today we'll take the second half of the section, verses 7 through 12. In verses 1 to 6, Paul shared his inner life, his motives for what he did. In verses 7 to 12, he's going to present to us his outer life, the outer function based on his inner life, using last week's study, verses 1 through 6, as our introduction for today. Paul started out chapter 2, verse 1 with, "For you yourselves know, brothers." And I emphasize to you that in verses 1 through 12, the term "you know" is used four times. And one time he uses the word "remember." So he's ministering things to the Thessalonians that they already know. And he's calling things back to their recollection. It's all about his testimony. That's what chapter 2 is all about, the testimony of Paul. Chapter 1 was the testimony of the Thessalonians. Chapter 2 is the testimony of Paul. Why do we even need a testimony from Paul? Why does Paul need to give his testimony to the Christians in Thessalonica? It's because during the two-year period, there's 2 years from the time that Paul entered into Thessalonica until the time that he wrote this letter is approximately 2 years. And in that time, some false teachers had come into Thessalonica and spoke badly about Paul, about how he's always getting into trouble, he's always causing riots, finds himself in prison, all for preaching the gospel. So that means to them, they tried to make it so that there must be something wrong when all these things happen. So Paul's setting the story straight that if I came into town to rip you off or give you misleading false statements, I wouldn't suffer so much for it. I wouldn't be afflicted for it. I wouldn't stand to do that. So Paul is presenting to them what he had to suffer for the sake of Christ and for the sake of preaching the gospel and even challenging. I know in 1 Corinthians he presented the same thing and he challenged the super apostles who came into town. They said they were super apostles if Paul was an apostle. They said, "We're super apostles." And they taught the people to give all their money and everything that they had to these ministers. And so Paul challenged these so-called super apostles to give up everything like he is. just for the sake of the truth, for the sake of the ministry of the word. He says, for you yourselves know, brothers, in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's the first of four mentions that he's going to make mention of, you know. You yourself know, brothers, our entrance to you, that it has not become empty, not become for nothing. So 2 years ago, there's still substance, there's still fruit, there's still the ongoing life of the Spirit in their midst. But also, having suffered before and having been insulted, according as you know, here's a second time he mentioned you know, according as you know in Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak the gospel of God to you in much agony. The word conflict in the traditional text is the word agon, agony. And so he relates to them what he had to suffer, what he had to be insulted with in Philippi, the town that they were in before they came to Thessalonica. He says, you know, when we were there, we were bold in our God, not about God, but in our God, to speak the gospel of God to you in much agony, much hardship. We saw from Jude 3 that he says, agonize over the faith. The faith is an agony. We saw from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race, that's the word agon, let us run with endurance the race that is being set before us. So it's presented as an agony, something that Paul went through, and this helped him in his presentation to the people. He says, verse 3, for our encouragement was not out of error, that is misleading, neither out of uncleanness, that is impure motives, nor out of deceit, that is speaking one thing but meaning another. He calls it encouragement. But according as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, in this way we speak not as pleasing to men, but to God, the one proving our hearts. So, but according to his message, it wasn't misleading. It wasn't with impure motives. He wasn't out to get the things that they owned, nor was it in deceit, nor was it double duplicity message. But according as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. So by Paul going through the agony and not quitting, he has been approved by God. In this way we speak not as pleasing to men, but to God, the one proving our hearts. We saw last week from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. That God proves all believers. God puts all believers through the test to prove them, to prove whether they belong to Christ. And it's through the agony. If a person doesn't belong to Christ, they're not going to stay with the Christian movement or Christianity or the things of the Lord if there's agony and affliction accompanying it. But God puts us purposely through afflictions and hardships, proving our hearts. So Paul says, I've been proved. Lord, put me through it. I'm still with the Lord. He's not talking about performance here. He's talking about the fact that when the agony is all over, or during the time of the agony, Christ is still there. We're still with Christ, and Christ is still with us. It might be hardship, but nevertheless, every Christian is being proven, and Paul is presenting the fact how he was proved by God and approved by God. Verse 5, for neither at any time did we become in a word of flattery, according as you know. There's the third instance where he says, as you know. Nor in pretense of covetousness, God is witness. So we didn't flatter you to try to win you over. We didn't use a pretense, a covering of covetousness. To covet means to want more than what you have. It's to covet what other people have and do whatever it takes to get it. He says, nor seeking glory from men, neither from you nor from others, being able to be in wait as apostles of Christ. We see a little bit of that today in our verses 7 to 12. Being in wait, that's a literal translation, but it literally means to push your weight around. We're apostles of Christ. We didn't come in and push our weight around. We didn't push our weight around and say, you need to give to us. You need to serve us. We're apostles. We're superior in status. So now we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. He just got through presenting in verses 1 through 6 his inner life, his motives for what he did. But now he's going to present his outer life, this outer life function based on his inner life. He says in verse 7, but we became gentle in your midst, as a nursing mother might warm her own children. Notice the reflexive pronoun, her own children. But he starts out by saying, but we became. Another one of his phrases for this section. To become something means it's not normal. They became this by the Spirit of God. But we became gentle in your midst, as a nursing mother might warm her own children. There are several words here that have to do with the parental relationship with children that are not found in other texts. It's the only place that some of these words are found here in the Bible. We became gentle in your midst as a nursing mother. Nursing doesn't mean a nurse in a hospital. Means a mother who is nursing her children, that she might warm her own children. The word warm means to bring close to you, to keep warm, much like a mother does when she breastfeeds her children. The word gentle is a special word. It's not used for gentleness in general, but gentle as a parent would relate to their children. So gentle with your own children is what he was saying. We treated you like a parent with their child. We were gentle. Interesting, no hellfire and brimstone from Paul. He was gentle. Verse 8. In this way, longing for you. And again, the term longing is a special word that's especially applied from parents to children. In this way, that is gentle in verse 7, longing for you, we are pleased to give to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls. So, interesting, this introduces really the purpose for this whole entire section. It's not just to preach the gospel, but to give your life. That's what it means to minister. It's not just being a preacher or being a teacher. It's giving your life and giving your soul. It's like the new converts were Paul's very own kids. There's a certain affection that you have with your own children that you don't have with anyone else. And they became having this affection. It's the actual sacrifice of your own life as if they were your own children, where you would lose yourself and even sacrifice yourself. And he gives the reason for this, reason why it's sacrificial. On account of that, you have become, here's our term, become again, you have become beloved to us. Beloved means to be the object of love, much like God does to us. Paul says, you became the object of our love, like our own kids. First of all, as like a mother would be gentle with her child when she's nursing him, nursing her own children, not someone else's, but her own. So in this way, longing for you, we are pleased to give to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls. That's the word used in the Greek text. On account of that, you have become beloved to us. Verse 9. For brothers, you remember our labor and toil. Again, using the term brothers as a family affection for them. He uses the word remember instead of you know. He now says, you remember our labor and toil. Recalling their attention back. Working night and day. For not a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. What was interesting is that when Paul came into town, he didn't preach tithing. He didn't preach giving at all, so that the people would not be burdened and it'd be a trap or a reason for not coming to hear the gospel. So Paul went and got a job where he could work during the day and then sit in the homes, or sit in the places and work and preach the gospel to the people. It's the sacrifice that a person gives. It's the love that a person gives by sacrificing their own selves, earning their own way, if need be. I can remember my own childhood. My mother was a single parent raising my sister and I. My sister was 9 years older than me. When she got married and left home, it was just me, but my mother provided enough income to where we could live in a nice neighborhood. We didn't live in the part of town where the gangs were, but in a nice neighborhood near the school that I attended. But she worked during the day as an optometrist receptionist, her day job. Then she came home and fixed dinner for me, and then she went to her night job, and she worked till 1 o'clock in the morning, working as a switchboard operator. But she did this in order to provide for me, the sacrifice that she made. She didn't make me go work, even though I had multiple paper routes, and it provided some extra money for me. But the sacrifice, the labor, toiling night and day so that people can have what's necessary, and the truth of the gospel is what Paul is presenting here. If you remember, I keep alluding to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul presented the same thing to the Christians in Corinth. He says, when we came into town, we even have the scriptures to back us up. He said, you are to support us. Jesus said, he who preaches the gospel should live by the gospel. But he had other scriptures from the Old Testament about giving and supporting. But Paul says, out of love, we didn't even use that. We didn't even mention it. I mean, after all, the logic goes, he says in 1 Corinthians 9, a farmer plants a field in order to eat from off of the harvest. And does a soldier go to war paying his own wages? The answer is no. But yes, the farmer reaps some of the harvest that he plants. So Paul says, shouldn't we, even according to the scriptures? But we don't. We don't even take up an offering so that it will not be a burden to you. So if it's a burden to you, if it stops you from hearing the word, then it's not worth it. So he says in verse 9 again, for brothers, you remember our labor and toil. He wants them to realize that when the false teachers come into town, they try to get everybody to support them. But he went and got a job so that financial support is not a problem in hearing the word. So that's Paul. Paul's care for them as a mother would be gentle and provide for her own, sacrifice for her own children. He saw them as his own children, like his own kids. But then in verses 10 through 12, the care of Paul as a father. He says, you and God are witnesses how holily and righteously and blamelessly we became. Here's our word again, to become. Something that's not natural. Something that God has to do. We became to you the ones believing. Three things that he says that you and God are witnesses. So he's calling upon their remembrance to be witnesses. That how he conducted himself. Not only was he gentle as a nursing mother, but he, as a father to his own children, he'll say in verse 11. The word holily means to be holy in action, pure. Righteously is a judicial term that means to be lined up with the law. A person is right with the law. If you go to court and they find that you lined up with the law and you obeyed the law, you are considered righteous. Spiritually speaking, to be righteous means to be lined up with God, to do what's right in the sight of God. And blamelessly, another judicial term that means without fault, without blame, without reproach. It doesn't say without accusation. There are plenty of accusations against Paul. But he says, we were blameless. The accusations were false. They were not true. We lined up with God. Then verse 11 says, according as you know, here we have the fourth time that we have the phrase, you know. According as you know how each one of you, as a father to his own children, notice the reflexive pronoun, to his own children, encouraging you and consoling you and testifying. So here is as a father. First it was as a nursing mother. And now he's saying that how each one of you as a father to his own children, encouraging you. The word encourage means to comfort with encouragement. It's a word that means to come alongside, to give someone the encouragement that they need. To encourage you and consoling. The word consoling has to do with dealing with people who have experienced a death, a loss in the family, or a personal loss. He says, we were consoling you as a father. The word is found also in John 11, verse 19, and John 11, verse 31, where the people attempted to console Mary and Martha and the family at the death of Lazarus. Consoling. So encouraging you as a father, consoling you as a father with his own children, and testifying to you. So the testimony was to the encouragement found in verse 12. For you to walk worthily of God, that's the testimony. The one calling you into his own kingdom and glory. Notice the reflexive pronoun again, his own. So we're testifying and encouraging you and consoling you for you to walk worthily of God. Interesting. How do you walk worthily of God? The word worthy, axios in Greek. And it has to do with the balance scales down in the marketplace. The value of something was measured by weight. So you put an object in one side of the balance scales, and you put money to where the balance scales even out. They're equal. That's how much the item would be worth. To be worthily of God means that if you belong to the Lord and you live and walk with the Lord, then you walk in balance with the Lord. The one calling you, and that's a present participle, continually calling you into his own kingdom and his own glory. So Paul is sharing his care over them as a mother, and his care over them as a father, showing that ministry is not just preaching and teaching. Ministry is family, caring for people as if they're family. Not in general. He had to become that. By the Spirit of God, they became like his own kids. And he's calling this to their attention compared to the people who came into town and who set up shop and ran church like a business that showed no interest or care at all for the people. That's what ministry is, caring for the people as a mother, as a father, as brothers and sisters, as he keeps calling them, and you, brothers, the family of the Lord, brothers and sisters. So it's more than just teaching and preaching. It's ministry. And Paul said, I sacrifice myself as if you were my own children. I did not put any burden on you to make you feel like you had to leave or not hear the gospel. I'll go out and get a job if I have to, Paul said, which he did. He did in Corinth too. Remember I told you that he said the same thing to the Christians in Corinth. Except in Corinth, the false teachers, super apostles, came into town and took money from the people, took the people's possessions. So Paul says, I sacrifice myself for you. But the false apostles come into town and they take your possessions. You give your money to them. So forgive me this wrong. So Paul says, I did wrong to relieve you of this burden when you turned around and gave your money and everything to the false teachers. So Paul had sacrifice in mind. Insight into Paul's life is more than just Bible study. It's more than just preaching a message. Caring for the people, to pray that God would make you become what the people need. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that in a time and age in which there's hardness, people are leaving churches, people are having a tough time with religion because it has become such a business, such an organization. It has lost its feel and its identity to family. More interested in building up the organization than what people need when they come in fellowship. Pray that teach us to be sensitive. Give us a desire for your word in the midst of the agony. But above all, or equal to that, cause us to be sensitive to the needs of others, to pray what God would have us to do to provide for that need. It's all about function in life. And so we pray that you'd give us a heart of compassion, a heart of caring. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.